How many of you here this morning have ever seen the show on television, Home Improvement? Oh, show of hands. How many of you have seen Home Improvement? Oh, not too many of you. Home Improvement was a show on television in the late 80s, early 90s that starred Tim Allen, and it was a show about this man, Tim the Toolman Taylor, who had his own show on television that dealt with home improvement for those that were watching and how they could improve their homes and do projects. And Tim was always trying to sell Binford Tools, which was the tools that they used on Tool Time, the show that he was in charge of. And as he would always present the Binford Tools during his show, the thing that he would always stress was Binford Tools have more power. They're able to stand up and get the job done. And the point was that the point that Tim was trying to make was that power is everything. And he'd always have that famous ape-like, you know. Well, that's the way it is for Christians in their walk with Jesus Christ. You know, we read the Bible, and we've been studying John's first letter in these past few weeks, and his advice to the followers, and the warnings to heed, and like an instruction manual that tells you how to fix a leaky faucet, or maybe a manual that tells you how to set up a new computer, or maybe a manual that tells you how to fix the carburetor on your car, your chainsaw or something, or maybe the manual that tells you how to install a new deck on your house. We read the manual, or we should, men usually don't, but we should, and we say to ourselves, I can't do that. I'm going to need some help. I'd better get someone who can show me or someone who's able to do it and knows what they're doing. And sometimes after reading in the Bible of God's ways for us to live, that's the way we feel, isn't it? I just can't do that. I don't know. And John tells us to obey Christ, to love the brethren, to not love the world because it pleases God. And then if we live according to God's instructions, we'll not be ashamed when Christ returns or comes again, and we'll have the confidence that He will be pleased with us. So we say, well, how am I going to do this? We've been asking, what's God's will for my life? To obey Christ, to love the brethren, to not love the world. Why do we want to do this? Because it pleases God and it gives us confidence that He'll be pleased with us when Christ comes again. The third question we ask is, how am I going to do this? I might be able to do one or two. Yeah, I might be able to obey Christ, but loving that brethren, oh, that's a tough one. Yeah, maybe I can love the brethren, but boy, I don't know. There's a lot of things in this world that I just can't get along without. So we struggle and we say, how am I going to be obedient? How am I going to do this? And the truth is, we can't do it on our own. We do not have the ability as human beings by our own power to live lives pleasing to God. It's called total depravity. In Genesis, when we study Genesis, the Bible says that God saw that the hearts of men were always evil, all the time. Totally depraved, unable to please God by themselves. And in the words of Tim the Toolman Taylor, we need more power, don't we? We need the power of the Holy Spirit of God, don't we? We need that power in our lives. And this is what John was talking about when he wrote in our text today of the holy anointing on the believers. This anointing was the Holy Spirit of Almighty Yahweh living in the believer to help them discern the truth from error and live lives as God desires for us to live. You see, in John's time, there were a lot of false heresies and teachings coming along, trying to get the Christians to sway from their beliefs and from their faith in Jesus Christ, trying to tell them he's not the Messiah. He wasn't the Messiah. He's not the one to follow. And there are many heresies today coming along to say, we can do it ourselves. It's about us. It's about our joy. Go for it. You can do it. You can be all that you can be. It's up to you. But it isn't. And that's what John was trying to tell us. He says, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from that truth. What he is saying to the believer is that God's Spirit has anointed them with the truth that Jesus is the Messiah or Christ. And he goes on to encourage believers in verse 24 by saying that what you have heard from the beginning, in other words, from the time that they received Christ and received and accepted the truth, see that what you've heard since then remains in you. And if it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. If what you learned from the beginning and heard and accepted remains in you. What had they heard at the beginning of their walk with Christ? The truth that Jesus is the Messiah and believers should obey Him. It's the message that John speaks about in the very first chapter when he says, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us and fellowship with the Father and His Son. That's what we're proclaiming to you. And he says now to them, you've heard this from that beginning. See that it remains in you. What were they proclaiming? What Jesus Himself had taught them. John says, this isn't a new command. He said to them in chapter 2, friends, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old one which you've had since that beginning. The old command is the message that you've heard, yet I am writing you a new command. And its truth is seen in Him, and it's seen in you. That truth is seen in you, because the darkness is passing away, and the true light was shining in the believers. And by sticking to this truth, or making sure that this truth remains in the believer, one has fellowship with the Son and fellowship with the Father. That was the whole purpose of the apostolic teaching, which John is emphasizing here in chapter 1, verse 3, that we proclaim what we have seen and what we have heard. And now he's saying, you heard this truth, remain in Him, in Christ, and you'll have fellowship with Him and the Father. But one cannot stick to that truth and be obedient to Christ unless they have that truth in them. We look at the manual and we say to ourselves, I can't do this. I'm going to need help. And we do need help every day, don't we? And after walking with the Lord for a while, we find that this is true. We cannot do it by ourselves. We cannot be totally obedient. We do what we call backslide. Truth and the ability to live by the truth of Jesus Christ dwells in the believer only by the power of the holy anointing, also known as the Holy Spirit. The King James Version calls it an unction. An anointing, an unction. And the Greek word for that is charisma. We've heard about people who are charismatic, who have charisma. That word charisma is an unguent, or a smearing, figuratively a special endowment, or a chrism of the Holy Spirit. So when we say someone is charismatic, we are actually saying that they have the Holy Spirit inside us, which it means technically, biblically, that all Christians are charismatic, because we all have spiritual gifts in us through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit dwelling inside us. The Holy Spirit doesn't come to dwell here to have a place to rest. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell inside us, to empower us, to gift us, so that we can do the things that God wants us to do, so that we have that power. In the Bible, a thing was anointed with oil to signify or mark it as being set apart for God's use, and we call that consecration. And to the believers, what he's saying here is, you have this consecration, you have an anointing from the Holy One. The anointing you received remains in you, and this anointing teaches you about all things, especially to remain in Him. Verse 27, he says, as for you, the anointing you received from Him remains in you, and you don't need anybody to teach you. You have that holy anointing, in other words, you have the Holy Spirit to teach you. You don't need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing, as the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit teaches you about all things, and that anointing is real, it's not counterfeit, just as it has taught you to remain in Him, because that's what the Holy Spirit does. It teaches us and it strengthens us to remain in Him. And that anointing is the Holy Spirit. I want to talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit that John's talking about this morning, because there's a lot of confusion out there when the knock comes on your door about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a force. You have to understand that the Holy Spirit is not the force of God. The Holy Spirit is not an it. It is a He. The Holy Spirit is a person, the third person of the Trinity. When Jesus was getting ready to leave His disciples, and He spent time teaching them, He said to them, "If you love Me," now this is in the upper room with them, "if you love Me, you'll obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor." In other words, another comforter, another intercessor, another helper, like Jesus. He's saying to them, "I'm going to ask the Father, and He'll give you another one to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives in you and will be with you. I will not leave you as orphans." Jesus goes on to say, "All this I've spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, the Holy Spirit will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I said to you." In other words, the Holy Spirit, day by day in the life of the believer, keeps reminding us of the red letters in our Bible, what Jesus has taught and said to us. Jesus goes on to say later in His talk with them, "I tell you the truth, it's for your good that I'm going away, because unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. When He comes, He will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment." That's why people are rejecting God today, because the Holy Spirit is convicting people of their sin, and their reaction is to reject God. Sometimes the Holy Spirit works through us to convict others. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of Truth. Jesus also says, "I and the Father are one." This is where we get our doctrine of the Trinity from the Bible. Jesus says, "I'm the truth." He calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of Truth, so we understand Jesus and the Holy Spirit are the same, but He also says, "I and the Father are one." So Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Father are one. And the Holy Spirit is a person, not an it. The Holy Spirit is the source of the force. Let me give you an example. You get in your car every day and you start it up to drive off. If it were not for the force going back to the drive shaft or to your wheels, turning your wheels, you couldn't go anywhere. But something had to start that force. There had to be a spark somewhere to start that force. There had to be a source. And you shoot a bullet out of a gun. You see the force of the bullet, and it goes and hits its target. But there has to be a source of that force and that energy. And to the believer in Jesus Christ, the source is the person of the Holy Spirit. There has to be a source. A force has to originate somewhere. It does not create itself. There has to be a source. The source empowers. The source is poured out or overflows as power. It pours out in the manifestation. And in the case of Christians, the Holy Spirit is smeared on the hearts of believers, as the Greek word means. A smearing or a special endowment. The Holy Spirit is God reaches out His finger, reaches into our hearts, and puts a piece of Himself there. The Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost to show that the Spirit is available and in all the believers. But you know, it doesn't stop with God's anointing or His smearing, His giving of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't stop there. He pours out from within us. We're just vessels. God's pouring in, we're pouring out. From within the believer in the form of power to overcome the world, to obey Christ, to love the brethren, and avoid loving the ways of the world. When that first happened, the world looked at those men on that day and said, "They're drunk. Look at them, they're crazy." And they're going to say, "You and I are crazy." They're going to say it. That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What matters is what we do. It's pleasing to God. Peter stood up. Peter, a fisherman, stood up and proclaimed the gospel by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost on the believers and the followers of Jesus Christ as a sign that Christians and Christians alone are anointed and consecrated by God. There were thousands of Jews gathered in Jerusalem for the festival, but they didn't all speak the same language. They were from all over the place. So in order to teach those gathered for the festival the truth about God and the wonders of God, as you read about in Acts chapter 2, tells us, the Holy Spirit literally poured out of the believers in an astonishing display of power and gifts to proclaim the wonders of God to the thousands that were gathered there in Jerusalem. The reason it was in foreign tongues or languages was so that people from all over the world could understand them. They weren't bewildered because they couldn't understand the weird tongues. They were bewildered because they couldn't figure out how these simple Galileans were speaking all these different languages so plainly. Acts says that they said, "Well, how is it we hear them in our own tongues, our own languages? We understand them." It was because they were empowered. They were anointed. It was a sign that a special anointing was poured out on the believers and continues to be poured out to this day on all who follow Christ, including you and I. Each and every one of you that has received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and are born again have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside you. And you have spiritual gifts to use for the glory of God. If you doubt that, if you deny that, then you only have a form of religion and are denying the power thereof. The Holy Spirit is a mysterious person. And Jesus explained it to Nicodemus like this in John 3. The wind blows where it wishes. You hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from and where it's going. And so it is with everyone who's born of the Spirit. We don't know where it comes from. We don't know where it's going. But we see the effects. We hear the effects. We feel the effects of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And everyone who is born again of the Spirit has the Spirit in them, making a difference in their life for the glory of God. That's the holy anointing that John was talking about in our text today. And the difference he could see in the believers was the light. Remember, he said to them, I am writing you a new command, and it's truth. Its truth is seen in him and in you because the darkness is passing and the true light's already shining. He could see a difference in the believers. The darkness had passed away and the light of God was shining in their lives. They were changed people, and he could see it. My question, folks, this morning is, can others see a difference in you? Have you inquired about your spiritual gift? Have you ever wondered what God's will is for your life? Or is your religion just a form of religion denying the power thereof? I can't not tell you how much my life changed when I became aware of my spiritual gifts through spiritual gift tests that I took. Very, very helpful. They helped me focus, and I could begin to focus on using those gifts. And when I did, gifts that I didn't think were my gifts, I said, "No, that's not me." But when I started to focus on them, I found myself doing things that I never thought I could do. And the truth is, I never could do them on my own. But I found by following the Spirit of truth, that I began to do things that I never dreamed I would be doing. And one of them is this right now. The only way is by the holy anointing of God's Spirit of truth. And isn't that the dilemma that we face every day, folks? Trying to walk in God's light on our own terms, in our own way, but winding up stuck in the mud. Isn't that the dilemma we face? We try, but we end up stuck in the mud. Wouldn't it be nice if we had a guide? Well, we do. We have a guide. We have a counselor. We have an advocate. The Spirit of truth. You don't need anyone else to teach you. You have all that you need. You have the Spirit of truth that teaches you all things that Jesus taught. And Jesus said, I'll not leave you orphaned. I will not leave you orphaned. The Holy Spirit is our advocate and our counselor and our guide to teach us all things and to empower us to stand up for the truth about Jesus Christ. And John said, if you claim to have that truth in you, if you claim to have that light in you, then walk as he did. And if we truly have that light inside us, the Spirit of truth, we will walk as Jesus.